Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. If you want to support us in our mission, head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both movie chronicles and movie reviews. Now, on with the show.
Welcome. This is a special episode of the Powell Bros Movie Chronicles, or Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. I'm one of the Powell Bros, Trent, and Tobias will not be joining me today. He's dealing with some stuff, and he's just resting and not recording. So just me, I'm going to talk about a few things. I have a few topics I want to just kind of talk through and work through, and some news I'll bring up as well. And yeah, hope you enjoy this episode. We will also be releasing a mini review from our Patreon, an old mini review that is already in our catalog of mini reviews on our Patreon. That will be releasing this week as well, so stay tuned for that. And if you'd like more of those mini reviews, especially one that I'm going to be releasing this week is also for a movie I just saw, please go ahead and support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/thePowell Bros. And yeah, we have a whole catalog of mini reviews and other content, two feature length films, a TV show we're working on that'll be released on there as well. And yeah, please consider supporting us so we can continue to do what we do. So yeah, I'm here to bring you the latest in news and entertainment from a biblical worldview. I hope you enjoy this episode. So just starting off with news, not a whole lot. I mean, I feel like there is, but not a whole lot I want to discuss. One thing we did find out is that Tom Holland is going to be the lead in The Odyssey, Christopher Nolan's adaptation of The Odyssey, which we've talked about in the past. We are going to be releasing Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which is based off The Odyssey, loosely based off of, for our movie reviews coming up at the beginning of next month. We got that. And I recently read The Odyssey, and so we've been talking about it. We've been interested in what's going on with Christopher Nolan and what he's the movie he's making. It sounds like Tom Holland's going to be the lead. Now, the question, of course, everyone has is Tom Holland going to play Odysseus? I do not think so. Christopher Nolan hasn't confirmed that, though Odysseus is technically the main character of The Odyssey. That isn't necessarily true. It really is Telemachus, his son. Telemachus, his son, is the one who's kind of, he's learning about his father throughout the story. He's the first character we meet at the beginning of the book, and he plays a prominent role throughout the story. Of course, while he's learning about his father and he's searching for his father, I'm guessing Tom Holland's going to be playing Telemachus. And that it's gonna focus around him and his perspective of what his father's going through, whoever plays Odysseus, maybe Matt Damon, or I don't know who else. I'm guessing it's Matt Damon. But yeah, I don't know. It was just interesting that they said that, and everyone's like, oh, he's playing Odysseus, and I don't think that's the case at all. But maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. So yeah, Odyssey. Oh yeah, Captain America: Brave New World reportedly has an $180 million budget, but from what I've been hearing and looking into, that's not true, because the reported budget like months ago was well above $300 million. And it sounds like the $180 million budget that's being that they're releasing or saying it, you know, that they're saying this is the budget, $180 million, is most likely the budget of the reshooted movie. So they were going to do New World Order, Captain America: New World Order, and then they changed the title and then did pretty much reshot the whole film. So for all the reshoots and everything that it sounds like they did, it would most likely come out to be about $180 million. So that's probably what that reported budget is going to be or was about. So they're fudging the numbers a little bit, and I'm guessing it's going to be a lot more than that, which means they have to make up a lot of money. And early pre-sale tickets and projected opening weekend box office is not looking very promising. Some people say, well, they're going to make $80 to $90 million on the opening weekend, which for any normal movie, sure, that's a lot. But for a Marvel movie, it's not. In fact, that'd be, I think, the lowest of the Captain America movies. And it would be about around the same amount of money that Ant-Man Quantumania made, which that only went on to make like, what, $200, $300 million with a $80, $90 million opening weekend. So saying that Captain America Brave New World is going to make $80, $90 million is not a lot of money. And yet they're making it seem like, oh, this is, you know, it's going to be a huge success. It's not. It's looking really bad for them, actually. Pre-sales are really low. Pre-sales are below Quantumania, so that's concerning for them. And I don't think very many people are interested. Most people are like, don't really know what's going on. Like, normies don't know where the MCU is at. And even me as a fan of the MCU, I'm not a fan of the Phase 4 and Phase 5, but as a fan of the MCU, I still don't really understand everything. I get that. I've watched, you know, Captain America and the Winter Soldier and Falcon Winter Soldier's TV show, whatever. It was awful. But I watched it, and so I kind of understand where the story's at, but, and then other things surrounding it. I don't know. I don't know how most people are not going to go to this movie and not understand what's going on. And I have no idea who this Red Hulk is, especially because it's played by a different actor, Thunderbolt Ross, at least. So, anyways, I'm not going to go on without that. Not super excited about it. So, there's that. Now I kind of want to get into some of the topics I wanted to talk about. I wanted to focus a little bit on horror. We're a few weeks into we're almost at the end of the month, and I've already seen 3 horror movies at the theater, and that's all I've seen in the theaters, mostly because there's just not been anything worth watching, and the only thing I've really been interested in is horror, as far as what's being released. And, you know, The Damned was really good. I loved it. Wolfman was meh. And then I just saw The Presence. It's not The Presence. It's just Presence, the presence of something. And it was terrible. I did not like it. It was an interesting concept, not somewhat well executed, but not really. I'm not going to get into it. If you guys want to hear my review of it, it's going to be up on our Patreon. I unpacked it up on there. The biggest issue that I have with this film is, and this is a trend that I'm seeing very often with the horror genre in general, is that it's moving away from religious horror, the horror genre in general, where the solution to the demonic, specifically, let's just say that, like, demonic movies, the solution to demonic movies is often superstition, psychics, therapy, the love that you have for someone else to overcome any evil presence, The Conjuring 3. There's been a shift, and I think the shift has really happened around Paranormal Activity. If you don't know much about Paranormal Activity, those movies were a huge hit, made buco bucks, and it was similar to the movie I saw. I actually felt like there was a lot of similarities, because in the Paranormal Activities movies, you're watching the movie from the perspective of a security camera, basically, where you have all these cameras set up in a home, and you're watching the story unfold, seeing what this family's going through, and so forth, from the perspective of a camera. Sometimes it's point of view, handheld camera, and so forth, but for the most part, you're the camera, I guess, as you're watching the story unfold. And the stories that they tell in the Paranormal Activity movies, some of them are compelling or interesting, like they keep you engaged, so it's not like boring. Some not so much. But one thing that we saw with the Paranormal Activity movies and the success that they had was the solution for the demonic was not the church. In fact, it was never the church. They're literally dealing with the occult in the Paranormal Activity movies, because there's huge lore behind these movies, and there's a cult that of the mothers, something sisters. I don't remember what it was. It was dumb. But they're, you know, conjuring up demons basically and sacrificing children, something. I don't know. And doing all these rituals and stuff. And so it's like there's the spiritual aspect in those movies that's very prominent, but the solution to the demonic and to those spiritual malevolent spirits are the solution is, psychics, superstitious, remedies. It's the human will is pretty prominent, and you know, the love you have for someone else and how love overcomes all and so forth. And though in those movies the bad guys usually win, the demons usually win in the end, so you don't even really have that. So there isn't a solution. So it's really kind of nihilistic in some senses. But like before that, a lot of the religious horror movies that you got, like The Exorcist and movies along those lines, like if you're looking at religious horror in general, and I would say Paranormal Activity is technically a religious horror movie in that there is a spiritual aspect to those films. It is demons that are possessing people. Usually the solution to that is the church. It's Christianity. Often it's a priest. Catholicism is sometimes you know a big part of that, of course, which I would disagree to an extent. But often it symbolizes what truly is the solution, I guess, which is Christ. Christ is the one that casts out the demons. It's at the name of Christ the demons tremble and flee, and that is always a solution, and there isn't really any other solution. Often the Catholic priests utilize rituals and things that don't work in some movies, like some of the Conjuring films. Annabelle, for example, is one I think about where the priest actually gets attacked by the demon, I think. And the solution isn't necessarily Christianity in that one either, so there's a problem there. But the first Conjuring movie, well, okay, let me finish up my Paranormal Activity thoughts. The solution often is the church. I'll just say institutionally, the church is the one that is the solution, should be the solution in these stories. That's shifted in our culture. It's not that anymore. You get it sometimes with some movies. And then you have some religious horror that necessarily doesn't play with the spiritual or like the demonic, I should say, like Heretic, which we've talked about a lot on this show from last year. Heretic was a great movie. It was a religious horror movie to some extent, but it was really combating, it was a movie about faith and where's your faith lie, is your faith genuine, and how do you combat false faith and so forth, and then what is truth is the question of that movie poses, and then the horror of not knowing, and then you have the antagonist not being a demon but being a cult leader essentially, and one who claims to have the true religion and so forth, but is overcome by the faith of the faithful, in a sense. Now, they deal with Mormonism, and the question is, well, is Mormonism true? Well, no, I think Mormonism is a counterfeit, which is also the argument that the movie kind of makes, because Mormonism is a counterfeit of the true religion of what is truth, and that is Christianity and the Bible. What God has revealed in His Word about who He is and who Christ is and what the solution is to our greatest problem, which is sin. And so you don't get the church as the solution. Often the church is a joke in a lot of these horror movies. It's people laugh at it. I think we've taken this big shift. Go to the Conjuring films. The first Conjuring film had a lot of Christians that were involved in the production and the writing. I think James Wan's the director. I don't believe he's a Christian, but I would assume he has a Christian past. I actually don't know if that's true, but I don't know. But anyways, a lot of the writers and people involved, I say a lot of the writers, not like, I think it was like three writers on the movie, and at least two of them were Christians. But there's a lot of Christian influence in that first Conjuring film. And the solution in the end, which I haven't seen in a while, I want to see it again, but the solution is Christianity. It's the church that is that deals with the demon. And you know, they bring in Elizabeth and Ed Warren, and they, you know, do their thing and cast out the demon in the end. And so they could be set free from this evil spirit that is dwelling in this house. And it's clear that it's evil and it's trying to tear this family apart. It's trying to ruin the mother, destroy the mother's life, and take away all that is good, beautiful, and true, and cast a dark shadow over the light. That's its goal, and that's its goal in that film. And the solution is the light. It's Christ, and it's the church, and they find the solution in the end. The good guys win, the demons cast out, and the family is set free. Continue on. The second Conjuring film, like I said, I haven't seen these movies in a while. That one is similar. They put this new twist on it where it's like, say the name of the demon and you can cast it out. You just got to learn it. I think Elizabeth Warren's trying to learn and figure out what the name of the demon is so she can have dominion over it, which there's some truth to that, as far as like our role of naming and taking dominion over creation. And I'd have to think a little more as far as whether or not we have that role over demons. I think we have authority in the name of Christ over demons, but it's in the Christ name alone that we have that authority, and not necessarily we have the will within ourselves to, like, if we can name the demon, we can take control over it. It's like, I don't think so. At least that's some like interesting concept that was created for that movie, and I'm sure it's been talked about in a lot, and maybe finds its historical relevance in the past. I don't know. That was a word salad. I don't know. I'm gay. Cause then you get to the third Conjuring film, which I mentioned earlier. Third Conjuring film. What's the solution? Well, it's not the church. You're dealing with this demonic cult, and the solution is true love. The love of Ed and Elizabeth Warren. It casts out the demon. Their love for one another, especially because I think Ed gets possessed or he gets cursed. That was it. There's the witch and she curses Ed, and the true love is what casts away. Now I had recently watched that one, I think, before I'd watched the other ones, or the most recent Conjuring film I've seen is the third one. And it wasn't as bad after watching it again as I remembered it, but it still has some problems. And I think it's still that solution of the human will, and love for one another. That's the solution. I'm pretty sure the newest Exorcist movie as well did that similarly, as far as like they look for solutions in all types of religions. They go to Islam and Judaism and so forth, and they kind of make it clear like, all these religions have the solution, and they just got to find that solution and utilize it in order to take care of the demon or something like that. I think there's a continual shift away, and I want to go back. We need to go back. I do appreciate horror, like I've said many times, in the right context. I'm going to point out horror that's garbage, and most horror is garbage. It just is. Most horror is pretty awful and should not be glorified or praised or even enjoyed. And I'll be the first one to say that. I think, thinking about, like, I saw The Wolfman. Wolfman had a lot of problems. There were elements of it, and the idea of The Wolfman, the story, like, the monster, universal monster, like, the monster of The Wolfman that is in film, in film history, in past, like, it's, The Wolfman represents a sin nature. It represents a monster that we find within and that we have to deal with and fight, and use that monster represents sin in some ways. In the Wolfman movie, the one that recently came out, there was serious sin that needed to be dealt with in this family, in this, from this husband, and that was the monster part represented that sin, that anger that he keeps inside, and that is released, becomes a monster, and the monster needs to be killed and dealt with. Like there are elements of that movie, there are elements of that story that are good and that we elements that can be used to tell a decent story. It just wasn't well executed in that film as far as the plot goes and how the movie ended and so forth. I didn't hate it. I thought there were a lot of really good elements of it, and they had a lot of good things going for them. It just kind of fell short and fell flat by the end. But it could have been better. So, yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of horror can be done well. I do believe that. It just often isn't. And I talk about it a lot because I want to, for myself, I want to work through these things. I want to understand why. It helps me understand human nature more. It helps me understand the nature of sin. It helps me understand the horror of sin in my life and the lives of others and in this world that we live in, because we live in a horrifying world. There's horror out there. There's sin out there that is horrifying. There are monsters that need to be dealt with. I think movie is a good medium, a good way for us to tell those stories and to learn how to deal with sin and find the right solution, which is always going to be Christ. It's just Hollywood has turned from that, of course. There are some movies they get it right. There are some movies that even Hollywood gets right. I will give credit to them in that way, but oftentimes not. And so, yeah, I think horror needs to be redeemed. I think just like any movie genre, it needs to be redeemed and used for the glory of Christ. I think comedy can be used for the glory of Christ. I think action thrillers, horror movies can all be used for the glory of Christ in their own way, in their own genre, as their own genre. And so horror is one of those. So I love talking about it and discussing it. Most of the time I'm just tearing apart horror movies, or sometimes I'm praising it. There are good ones. The Damned as well was a good one this year, at the beginning of the year, beginning of the month, that I enjoyed a lot and had good elements, good aspects, especially as it relates to dealing with sin, dealing with the monster, dealing with the consequences of your actions and what happens when your actions become a monster and how do you deal with it? I think they executed it pretty well in that movie, and I was really impressed by it. But that wasn't Hollywood. That was a UK film. So it was a foreign film, technically. And they got a lot of things right. Some things wrong, but a lot of things right. So, and that's that movie, for instance. The solution they search for is superstition. They try to use superstition, and guess what? It doesn't work. In fact, the main character is overcome by her the consequences of her actions, by her sin, by the end, because she sought for the wrong remedy. She sought for superstition and trying to figure out how to deal with this demon, this monster, by holding on to folklore and tales about how to deal with these things, deal with this specific monster. And it didn't work. So, which is true, like those superstition doesn't. You can come up with all kinds of different ways to get rid of a monster or a demon, and oftentimes it doesn't work, and you have to realize that and then find the real solution, which is to bend the knee to Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord and cast that demon out. Which there's a lot of demons in Hollywood that need to be cast out, as we talk about often. So anyways, this has kind of been a special horror episode. I'm not going to ramble on anymore. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I sure did. And stay tuned for next week. Stay tuned for the beginning of the month, where we will be releasing Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It was so fun recording it. I'm excited for everyone to see it and listen to it. And to go watch that movie again, because that movie's incredible. One of my favorites now, and was before, but even higher on my list of like favorite movies. It's just incredible film. It was a great discussion Tobias and I had, so stay tuned for that. And yeah, I think that's all I got for you. So thank you. Remember to glorify God and watch good movies, and be careful what you watch. Be discerning and honor the Lord in all you do. Tell good stories, write good stories, live good stories that honor that which is that honor him, and display that which is good, beautiful, and true. I'm out. See ya. Thanks, guys.
Welcome back, Patreons. We are here with another episode for you guys. We Thank you so much for your support and for listening to our mini reviews and supporting our cause and our mission. And yeah, we just reviewed, what did we review? Man-Thing.
Man-Thing. It was that forgettable, yeah, where we forgot.
Yeah, we had no Stan Lee cameo, no end credit scene. We didn't even mention
that we do this as
we usually do, but
there was a Stan Lee cameo.
There was?
There was.
What?
I didn't catch it, but I read about it. He was one of the people on the wanted list, missing list. He was a missing person. So he was on the board. So he was technically in there.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, so we got our...
So there was that.
Check out the IMDb rating.
Oh, yeah.
I just searched it, and it is a 4.1.
What?
That is way too high.
Way too high.
I don't understand how in the world that... that
four
movie
what?
Could have a 4.1.
How many reviews does it have, does it say?
7,000.
What?
So that's pretty low.
Oh, okay.
7,000's not a lot at all.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Weird. 4.1. I don't get that.
20. There's 6% of people gave that a 10.
What? What? Well, okay. That's
408 people gave it a 10.
That's weird. Okay.
Most people gave it a 4. Like one and a half thousand people gave it a 4. And then yeah. But that random 408 people that gave it a 10 just really boosted it up to 4.7.
I guess so. That's weird.
That is wild.
That is pretty wild.
Yeah. All right. So I guess that's it for that. Another one down in the trash can.
Another one bites the dust.
For our reviews.
Another movie we'll probably never watch again.
Yeah.
At least I won't.
We got Fantastic Four next week. And
I'm interested in watching The Silver Surfer again. Because I know it's been helmed as being a pretty terrible movie. But I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Give it a shot.
All right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was kind of a nostalgic movie. I mean, we loved it as kids. So.
Yeah, Fantastic Four was really fun.
So, yeah, it was good movie. Watch it as an adult. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so you got a movie for us. I actually don't even know what you're reviewing.
Oh, really? But, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you got for us?
So, it's actually been a couple of weeks, so I'm a little bit... I'm a little bit removed from watching it. I wanted to go see it again because I saw it was a movie in theaters, but it had a very limited release, and so I wasn't able to watch it again, sadly. But it's one I'll definitely watch when it comes out on streaming and whatnot. So I watched Arcadian, which is a Nicolas Cage film. So Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay. I think I thought that you had already reviewed this movie. I think that's why.
No, I did. I saw two movies in 1 week. It was Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which I reviewed.
That's one, yeah, okay. That's what.
Was that 2 weeks ago? What did we do last week?
Yeah. So as far as timeline, like,
yeah.
For us, that's the next one that's coming out. The next mini review is coming out this Wednesday.
Okay.
But when this comes out, it'll been a few weeks.
Sure. Okay. So I saw Arcadian as well.
Weeks, yeah.
During that time, and yeah, it, man, there's a lot of things I loved about this film. I liked the world building. I liked the setting. I liked Nicolas Cage's character. I liked the other protagonist, which was his two sons. I like their dynamic. There's a lot of good things about this film that I enjoyed. There's some things that I didn't, of course, and mostly related to story, as far as how they tell the story and what, you know, how it concluded and everything, where I had problems. But I do have a lot of praise for this film. This is a very low budget. It's horror, thriller, action film. It reminds me a lot of A Quiet Place, which is a kind of it has a certain, I'm trying to think of the phrase, but it's a kind of post-apocalyptic dystopian world where monsters have invaded Earth and taken over and killed millions and millions of people, and you have this family that you're following, and that they're learning and trying to survive in this world, trying to stay safe from the monsters. So there's like A Quiet Place, you know, the thing about the monsters is if they hear sound, they run to it, and you know, so you have to be very quiet. And the reason why that movie is so horrifying is because they do a good job at building tension, where like, you know, you're in the theater and it's dead silent, and like even if like the person next to you makes a noise, you jump and you get scared because you're drawn into the film, because the characters you're watching, they're in danger if they make noise, and you know, they step on a twig or something, and like, oh no, are the monsters going to get them? So they do a good job at creating that horror in that way. This movie also did a good job, where the thing about the monsters was they come out at night. That was the biggest thing. But throughout the film, they kind of evolve and learn a lot. They kind of grow, and they learn how to be more strategic at getting to this family. But they can only come at night. That's their thing. And so obviously once the sun goes down, things start getting kind of crazy. And so you start off in the film where the boys are running, are out, they're out working. They live on this land, on this farmland. So they're out doing whatever. The sun's going down. You see Nicolas Cage getting pretty frustrated with his sons because they're out a little too late. They're you know, the sun's going down, and they're like, they're just now coming home. And it's like, no, you guys need to be home sooner so that we can get locked up. And you know, they have a whole system in place where they, you know, board up the doors, shut, you know, close the blinds, the windows, so there's no light coming in, and you know, there's no way for the monsters to get in. I think it was the first night or so where there's some scratching at the doors, or the monsters are trying to get in, and they kind of show throughout the film that they're trying many, the monsters are trying different things. That's why I said that they're evolving or learning. They're trying to figure out how to get into this house, but not able to. The movie follows Nicolas Cage and his two sons. They don't give much of a backstory as like what happened to their mom, but they do have a really impactful scene. It was a flashback to when the movie, when the world, you know, went to poop, went to crap, and you have a scene where he's, you know, protecting his infant children, and it's pretty impactful scene as you just show his love for his boys. And his willingness to do whatever it takes to protect them, which is impactful as you get to the climax of the film in the third act. It's a very based film, because there's Nicolas Cage, and he's a good patriarch, he's a good father, he's willing to protect his boys, and sometimes he's harsh with them, but he's harsh because they need that, because one of the boys is really immature. He has a crush on a girl. So there's other people around, like sort of like there's another kind of like commune. There's this family there's another farmland, basically a farm. And you know, so they have other people, but one of the boys, he goes over and helps them like every week. And there's a girl that lives there that's his age, so it's kind of, the story follows him and his crush that he has on this girl and their relationship. But he's kind of being foolish and, you know, staying too late and not being careful. And Nicolas Cage is trying to, you know, help his son see, like, hey, like, this is serious. Like, you know, this is a matter of life and death. You can't be out, you're running around with this girl, you know, you need to be more careful. And there's a couple instances where he cuts a little too close. There's one part of the movie the son doesn't come home because he actually got hurt out while he was coming. He tripped and fell, and And so Nicolas Cage, what he does is he goes out and he's like, okay, I'm gonna go find my son. And so his other son comes back and he's like, hey, I don't know what happened to my brother because his brother ran off to be with the girl. He comes home, doesn't make it home. So Nicolas Cage goes out, goes get him. And there's a whole story thread where he finds his son, but they have to fight off this monster and they survive the night and they'll make it back. But Nicolas Cage gets hurt and so forth. So there's all that. I say it's really based because, you know, there's one scene, it's in the trailer, but one scene where Nicolas Cage is with his boys, where the other son, not the one that has the crush on the girl, he's kind of a coward. He's really fearful and afraid, you know, so they give him a really good arc as well, of course, like he learns to overcome that fear and be resilient, and he actually is the one that ends up saving his dad, because after Nicolas Cage got hurt, and there's a lot there, but there's a scene where they're at the dinner table where the boy's kind of acting, you know, he's skittish and afraid, and Nicolas Cage is trying to encourage his son and motivate him to be brave, and there's a line where he says, are we not men? He says, are we not men? And he like stabs a fork into the table, and then he, you know, it makes it clear that this is something they do on a regular basis. And so the other son, he's like, he says the same thing. Are we not men? And he stabs a fork in the table. And then the other one, he says, are we not men? And he tries to stab it, but he doesn't get the fork all the way in the table. It's just symbolic and showing that, you know, he's not being brave enough. He's not being a man. And then he overcomes that and becomes a man and becomes, he learns to be brave later on in the film. But even that line, like, you know, are we not men? Like, you don't see that in films. You don't see stuff like that. This is a very masculine, manly film. And that's one thing I do love about it. They give the son, who, like I say, he's fearful, they give him a good arc. The other son, not so much. His only story is he loves this girl. Well, no, I take that back. He does repent of his foolishness. His foolishness actually is, like I said, because he didn't come home, Nicolas Cage got hurt, and to the point where he almost died. And so he takes that, he carries that guilt, and he feels that guilt and responsibility, like, oh, my foolishness, my immaturity led to this. And so he repents of that. And so there's an arc there. I'd say the biggest issue I have is just the pacing of the film is a little rough, where there's a lot of things happening, and it doesn't tell a very straightforward, coherent story. At the end of the film, there's a lot more. Ugh, man, there's so much I could say about this, but the creatures are really interesting. I like what they did. It's a low budget film, but they do a good job. There's a unique twist to the creatures that's really interesting, that people just have to see to enjoy it. But I liked it for the most part. There's some character decisions. There's some antagonists in the film that live on the farm that the boy has a crush on the girl. Is her like uncles or something? There's some character decisions that are made from that standpoint that I didn't like. And then at the end, there's a line with the girl. The girl kind of, you know, takes credit for a lot of things that happened where she shouldn't have taken credit. It was really the boys that did all the work. And she's like, oh, you guys couldn't have done it without me, when they could have done it without her. It was just kind of a girl boss moment that I didn't like. Nicolas Cage, you know, this is kind of a spoiler alert. He dies in the end. So what happens is he gets hurt and he pretty much is in a coma. Like he's not a coma. He's knocked out. He's pretty severely hurt by the monsters. So the son that he was with, the one that was being an idiot, he takes him home. And then they find out, oh, there's a generic medicine that he needs. And the only place that has it is this farm. So with the girl, so he has to go back and get the medicine. They get the medicine. He actually steals it, and then he gets in trouble. And plot thread was really annoying and didn't really work for me. But anyways, he gets the medicine, comes back. He's able to nurse save his father. His father takes medicine. Nicolas Cage eventually gets better, but as he's not well, as he's still sick. What's happening is the monsters are learning and they're eventually about to get into the house. So the one night, the final night comes, third act begins, and the monsters are able to get into the house. But they set up traps for them. So the boy, the one that was fearful, like I said, he's really brilliant. So he's learning about the monsters throughout the film. He figures out a way to trap them. He traps one of them, he actually captures one of them early on in the film, to learn about it. And then when the final night comes, he's able to, they're able to set up some traps and stand their ground against them. And Nicolas Cage is like, he's out of the film, like, at this point. Like, he's bedridden. He actually isn't in this movie a whole lot, which I was also disappointed by, but I get what they were doing, because the movie's more about the boys. So the boys, they are able to, by themselves without their father, they're able to stand their ground and protect the house and fight off these monsters. And then when Nicolas Cage wakes up, he wakes up and sees that and throughout the film, he's pretty frustrated with his boys a lot of time before he got hurt, because, you know, they're still not learning. They're still being immature. But when he wakes up, he realizes, oh, they've been able to fend for themselves, that they've learned the lessons they need to learn. And he sees that, and he's like, I don't want, because he's pretty overprotective of his boys, reasonably so, but he realizes, oh, they've matured, they've grown to be men, they've been able to fend for themselves while these monsters are taking over our house. They're learning to be good patriarchs and good leaders and good lords of their home. And then there's a scene where after he wakes up, they all are trying to run and to get in this. They've set up a trap to kill all the monsters. They're actually kind of, I think they like blow up the house or something, or they set fire to the house which would kill all the monsters, because they all have convert all the monsters have converged in this house. And Nicolas Cage wakes up and he sees, he's like ready to, like, all right, I'm ready to fight for my boys. And he realizes, oh, they don't need me anymore. Because that's been the struggle that he's had. It's like, they do need me. Now he realizes they don't need me. And so they go into this room, and they found this contraption that is going to protect them from the flames when the house blows up or something like that. And Nicolas Cage decides not to follow them and not to go into that safe room, and says he stays back to fight off the monsters and sacrifice himself so that his boys live. However, this is an issue I had. This is my biggest issue, is that I like that he sacrificed himself, but the sacrifice, really, it was not earned for me. Like, I was really frustrated with it, because what happened was he did not have to die. Like, there was no reason for him to die at all. Like, it did nothing for the boys. It did nothing for the plot, nothing for the story. They set it up well, but they did not execute it well. So when he died, it was like, okay, like, he could have just went with them. If they would have established, like, oh, there's not enough room for him, or he needs to do this in order for the boy, for them to actually survive, or something, like, give him something more to do than just, like, go and punch some monsters and then die, which is basically what happened. It was kind of dumb for me. It really let me down, because I was enjoying the film for the most part. I had some issues with it, but I was like, oh yeah, I see where they're going, and I like the setup. I like that he realizes, oh, my boys have learned, they're able to fend for themselves, they've become the men that I know that I've wanted them to be, and that I know that they can be. But it kind of fell short at that point. So that happened. It's what it was. It's okay. So and at the end, after he dies, the boys and the girl, they go off and kind of starting their own life, moving on, something new, and to just be, you know, start to continue their lives, but do so after, you know, having learned the lessons they learned. So I liked it for the most part. There's a lot of problems I had, but most of it was really good, and I enjoyed it. I had fun watching it. So I'd say I'd give this film a generous 7.7, and maybe that's a little too much, actually. Let's go low sevens. That's, I think it'd be more fair. 7.3. That's a that's generous. That's what we're going to do. So that's where I'm at with this one. And yeah, that was Arcadian by Nicolas Cage, starring Nicolas Cage. And I know one of the boys was from the movie It. If any of you have seen It, with Pennywise the Clown, he was one of the main characters in that. So there's that. And yeah, I think that's all I got. So, thank you, Patreon supporters. Thank you guys for all that you do to support us. And I hope you guys enjoy these mini reviews that we post for you. And look forward and go ahead and keep looking forward to them, because we're going to keep giving them to you every week. So, yeah, I think that's all we got for you. So thank you all. See you later.